Hi, my name is Joey Kirkland, and I'm an instructional specialist in SciFair ISD in Texas, and I am a member of the EdTech Army.
Welcome to the Sons of Technology Clubhouse. Ditch your fear at the door, take a risk, and enjoy the ride with your hosts, Joe Marquez and Kyle Anderson.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the podcast by the Sons of Technology. And today we have a really great episode for you today, a really exciting episode, because we get to talk about one of the most amazing educational technology, pedagogical student teacher organizations, not only in California, not only in Nevada, but actually nationwide now because of their really successful virtual conference back in March. We are going to be talking about Q, or as what I like to say, our Q-munity of teachers and educators who are just doing everything to really collaborate and help administrators and teachers across the globe to tackle what is going to become known as the fall semester where the unknown is the only known. So we have some really, really, really great educators here to talk with you today. I'm going to start with myself. My name is Joe Marquez, and I, drum roll please, have a brand new job. I have a brand new position. I am no longer an education strategist with CDWG. Which is a fantastic organization, but I have recently been hired by Q as the new Director of Academic Innovation. So that is my new position, Director of Academic Innovation for Q, an educator out of the Central Valley of California. And as always, my partner in innovation, Kyle Anderson. Kyle, please introduce yourself.
Good day. My name is Kyle Anderson. You can find me on Twitter at Anderson EdTech, also on the Instagram Anderson EdTech, my blog AndersonEdTech.net. And then I'm also the author of To the Edge Successes and Failures Through Risk Taking that you can learn more about at ToTheEdgeEDU.com, and also the Instagram page for that, ToTheEdgeEDU. And it is available on Amazon and Barnes and Noble's website, and there's going to be a book study on it here pretty soon that's in the planning stages as we are recording this. So watch my Twitter and watch my Instagram and the book Instagram for information on the book study that is going to be coming up on that. Hopefully inspiring some people out there to be risk takers and try some different stuff, especially in this crazy time that we called COVID quarantine.
Absolutely. And your book is phenomenal. I just finished it. It is something every teacher needs to read right now, because there's risks that need to be taken. There are failures that are going to happen, and there are triumphs and tribulations we are going to be overcoming. So you absolutely need to read that book. And I want to give a warm welcome to somebody I have known for years and years and years. He was in my Google Innovator cohort back when it was called the GCT, the Google Teacher Academy. Joey, out of Texas. Joey, please introduce yourself.
Oh, thanks, Joe. My name is Joey Kirkland, and you can find me on Twitter at Kirkland_EDU. I am starting this year as an instructional coach for my campus. It's going to be an elementary campus. Previous to that, I've spent 13 years in education, teaching everything from kindergarten all the way to seventh grade. So I have run the gamut of the education circuit. And like Joe said, I was a Google certified teacher and now certified innovator, and lucky enough to team up with him back then.
Yeah. So Joey, I wanted to ask you this question, because you're in Texas, and there is no Q affiliate in Texas, but there are educators who are innovators and collaborators and communicators, and that is the heart of what Q is. I want to ask you this before we begin talking about Q. Could you have gotten to where you are today by yourself?
No, absolutely not. You can't, it's not something that you can do as a lone wolf. You have to bounce ideas off of people. You need to reach out to a community, have a PLN that's out there and able to share ideas with, just so that way you can find out the best way about going about something. And so, no, you can't do it by yourself. You definitely need to work with others.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you said that answer, because I would have nothing else to say if you said, yes, you did it by yourself. I'm like, uh-oh. But I know that you are surrounded by amazing educators, and you feed off the ideas of others and make those ideas your own and find ways to make them useful to other educators. So I know you're going to do phenomenal at your new position in your new school. I want everybody to understand that that's what Q has been for me. And Kyle, I know you have kind of the same story, but I just really quickly want to tell our listeners this. So when I was teaching, when I first started teaching, my first couple of years, I saw technology as a distraction, because I wanted to be the one talking. I wanted to be the one explaining. I wanted me, myself, to be the focus and my students to do what I focused on. And I saw technology as taking away from that. Like, I started teaching when the iPhone first came out, and students were texting under the desk, and students were doing apps and this and that, and I saw them as a distraction. And so I did everything I could to ban technology from my classroom. I mean, I had like a cell phone signal and then an X through it, like no cell phones. I'll admit it, I even bought a cell phone jammer from China, and I would turn that on in class to block any signals coming in or out of the room. I did all of these things. But then I started realizing that, you know, these tools are extremely powerful because they connect to other tools on the internet. This is when Socrative was coming out. This is when Poll Everywhere was coming out. This is when Nearpod was on the cusp of coming out. And so I figured, why can't I use the technology they have in their pockets to benefit my teaching in the moment? And so that was my first steps towards teaching. But I was told by others, by more veteran teachers, by teachers who have been doing the job longer, that's not the way we do things. You know, stop rocking the boat. We do it this way. So I thought I was doing things wrong. I was getting excited, and then I thought I was doing things wrong. And then just by happenstance, one of my fellow educators invited me to a mixer to this group called CVQ, which is Central Valley Q. It's the Q Central Valley of California affiliate. I had no idea what it was, but this educator said, you'll fit right in. And I went to this mixer, and it was a group of educators talking about technology and all the things they were doing in their classroom and all the project-based learning they're allowing their students to do. And I'm thinking to myself, this is the stuff I want to do, but I'm being told that it's wrong, or I'm being told that that's not how we do things, but it is the way you do things. And so I found a group of educators who had the same mindset as me, the same futuristic vision as me, the same confidence in students' ability to do work and create and be creators of content. I found those educators in Q, and I joined the CVQ board back in 2012, and I have never looked back. Q has allowed me to feel like I am valuable. Q allowed me to feel that what I was doing, even though it was against the grain, even though it was against the norm, was needed, was acceptable, and was important. Q gave me the confidence to keep on moving, even though those closer to me in my school were trying to hold me back. And the great thing about it is, once I let go, once I was unleashed, others finally saw the possibilities. And those other teachers who may have said, I don't really want to do it, or that's not the way we do it, they finally saw benefit in the technology, and then they started to follow me. Q allowed that to happen. No, nobody ever goes to a mixer to become a leader, right? They go to a mixer for the free appetizers and maybe the two drink tickets. That's why they go to the mixer. But Q allowed me to shed this era of uncertainty, and Q allowed me to blossom. I imagine like a butterfly coming out of a cocoon for the first time. Q allowed me to embrace the uncomfort zone and embrace innovation and embrace the fact that others would be against it at first, but to keep on doing what you're doing because you know it's right and you know it needs to happen. Q allowed me and gave me the confidence to do that. And one of the quotes I always love to say is actually from one of my favorite movies. It's Demolition Man. If you've never seen Demolition Man, watch it. It's phenomenal. It's one of the best 90s movies out there. But in Demolition Man, there's this guy named Edgar Friendly. He's like the underground leader of the resistance. And Sylvester Stallone, he's the main character. He asks Edgar Friendly, he goes, what are you doing to lead these people? And he says, I'm not a leader. I don't lead. I just do things and people like it and they follow me. That's what a leader is. You don't go out to lead. You don't say, follow me. You just start doing amazing things or things that are different, and people start looking at you like, wait a minute, who's this guy over here? What is he doing? And then they go, I want to do that too. Can you show me? And you don't become a leader because you sign up for it. You become a leader because you're willing to share and try and do, and you're willing to accept other people into your cohort of learners. And that's what Q has done for me. And I can't forget the people Q has allowed me to meet and go from mentors to friends, to go from acquaintances to friends, right? We all know how hard it is as adults to make new friends, right? When you're growing up through junior high or high school, you create friends because you see them every day. But when you become an adult and you get families and you have jobs, it's hard to meet and truly become new friends. And Q has allowed me to truly create these new relationships and new friends. And I'd have to say none more important than Kyle Anderson right here, who has really allowed me to blossom and really allowed me to come out of my shell. And people go, what do you mean come out of your shell? You're a loud, obnoxious person. Well, yes, when I'm comfortable. But when I'm around new people or uncertain of who I'm with, I can be still introverted. That's what I am by heart. Kyle allows me to be me and be boisterous, and he gives me that confidence. So, and I met Kyle through Q. Kat Goyette and Adam Juarez, they've allowed me to solidify a great friendship with them. John Carrippo, one of my mentors, and I'm succeeding him at Q, which is a very crazy thing for me to say because he is such an amazing human being and amazing mentor to me. Knowing that I'm following in his footsteps is just an amazing privilege of my own. Q has allowed me to have a new family. And in fact, when in the interview process, people ask, what does Q mean to you? And I said, Q is hope. Q is family. Q is opportunity. Q is friendship. Q is community. And that's where I came up with the idea of Q-munity, because we can't do it alone. And so to circle back, Joey, I could not have done it alone. You've added a brick to my wall of success. I mean, you were part of that cohort of Google innovators that opened my eyes up to so many possibilities. And we kept in touch, ever since then. You've laid groundwork to help me become a better person. So to those listening, if you are in California or Nevada, find a Q affiliate and join in and really get involved with that great group of educators. If you are outside of California, Nevada, you can still join Q. You can't have you really can't join an affiliate at the moment. At the moment, I'm saying, but you can still join Q because we're just a cohort of educators you can rely and lean on. So you can still join by going to q.org/membership, and you can still get your complimentary membership. But what I'm saying is this: Q has totally changed the trajectory of my life. And you know, when people say, "What is the best piece of advice?" or the best piece of advice you took, I said, going to that mixer. If I would have said, no, I'm too busy, or if I would have said no, I could not imagine where my life would be at the moment. Q allowed me to really amplify what I was doing and put that on a fast track. I know I've been talking for a while just because I'm just so emotional about what has happened in these recent weeks. It's just beyond my comprehension. But Kyle, I know that you have found a family in Q as well. I'd love to hear your thoughts on our Q community.
Absolutely. Similar story. I was one of those teachers, yes, 10, 12 years ago, that I thought technology was distraction. While I never went as far as finding a jammer like you, it had definitely crossed my mind on several occasions. But things started to flip for me when I was working at a school where more of the teachers there and the administration was embracing technology. And I mean, not anything like it is now, like really creative out of the box kind of stuff, but it was a start. There were more devices and people were more willing to use stuff and try different things. So it kind of rubbed off on me as well. And then my school ended up being selected as a pilot school within my district for, at the time, Google Apps for Education, or GAFE. And then, so we all got these Google accounts and I just started toying around with it. So got all of my stuff that I had been carrying on a flash drive for however many years onto Google Drive, and then converting all my PowerPoints to Google Slides and doing everything. And again, it was very simplistic at first. It was more of like, if you're looking at the SAMR model, it was me going from flash drive to Google Drive was like the substitution step of the SAMR model. So it wasn't anything really outside the box. But so as time goes on and I'm toying around with things, I'm trying new and different things. But then Q came into my life. And the way that happened was, one of my administrators at my school, her husband, he's been organizing different tech conferences for a very long time. He had gotten me into a Google Summit in early 2015, and I didn't have to pay a dime for that. And that kind of opened up a world for me as well. But in the summer of 2015, I got an email from him one day saying, I have a free registration and a free membership to a Q Rockstar event in Las Vegas. Would you like to go? And I had heard of Q, but I didn't really know much about it. There was a handful of people in my inner circle within my district that had talked about this organization, but that's really all it really was. It was nothing more than talk. I never knew much more about it. So I looked at this as, it was a 3-day event. It was something that I think normally would have cost $200-$300 to go to if I was paying out of pocket. And I was like, why not? I mean, this is a free conference. I might as well. And if you've never been to a Q Rockstar, it's a little bit different than a standard conference where you go and just, you know, pick sessions and go. In the beginning, each presenter kind of does a sales pitch for their session about why you should go. And I just remember sitting there, like, it was just the most outside the box, crazy thing I had ever seen. So I ended up going to all these different sessions. And at this time, I can't remember what the sessions were off the top of my head, but I met some pretty amazing people that day. Namely, the one that's coming to my mind is Brian Briggs. I met Brian Briggs there for the first time. And what also happened that day was, one of my coworkers from my school, a gentleman by the name of Stephen New, he was there, and he said to me, he comes up, he goes, I didn't know you were into this stuff. I mean, here we are, we work in the same building and we barely knew anything about each other. So kind of got to know him a little bit that day. And then over the course of the next couple months, he and I are interacting more. And then he says to me one day, he goes, you know, your voice would be really great for the local Q affiliate here in Nevada. So would you be interested in joining our board and taking a look at things? And I'm like, sure, let's do it. So this was like in October of 2015. And I go to this first board meeting, and because I'm new, I'm not really saying anything. And they turn to planning their next event, which is going to take place in January. And they said, well, we need somebody to kind of head up this planning committee. Who's down? And it was like crickets, you know, 10 people in this meeting. It may have been a Zoom meeting, actually, to tell you the truth. but crickets, nobody's saying anything. And then the person that was leading the meeting said, like, well, Kyle, why don't you do it? So go ahead. Here you go. This is what we need to do. And I basically was, quote unquote, thrown under the bus. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do now? So I've never done anything like this. So over the course of 3 months, I basically helped plan out a conference. I mean, I had help, but I did a lot of it on my own, and it was a lot of fun. And we put on an event in the middle of January of 2016 that was very successful, and it really started opening up doors. And then as a thank you for putting that together, helping put that together, I got a free registration to Spring Q 2016. And at this point, I had been on Twitter for a while and was starting to interact with people, but I never really met anybody outside of people within my district. And then I go to Spring Q 2016, and that's when the floodgate opened. and it was just over for me. And now, like, I think back to, like you said, had you never gone to that mixer, what would your life look like now? Had I not gone to that Q Rockstar, what would my life look like now? I can't even imagine, because now, with the exception of this year, I've been to Spring Q every year. So, I mean, Spring Q is virtual this year. So I've met countless people that I consider friends. You mentioned you and I met through Q. Yeah, 4 years ago or so, you and I met at, it wasn't a Q event, actually. It was, I believe it was Tech Rodeo for Tulare County is where we met. And you and I started interacting more. And then we had proposed working together on a presentation for another Tech Rodeo. And then that's where this podcast was born. So without, like you said, without that Q Rockstar, I'm not sitting here right now talking about this. I'm not podcasting at all, probably, because it was through Q where I got the podcasting bug with the shows that I'm doing now, between this one and the Beer EDU podcast. And then I will, in a future episode, talk a little bit more about a third one I'm going to be doing now. This one's a little bit more work-related versus the fun that I try to have with this one. So it'll still be fun, don't get me wrong, but we'll talk more about that later. But yeah, it's just the person I am today is because of Q. So I'm a podcaster. I'm a much better educator. I have friends from all over Nevada and California and really the world at this point. So I'm an author now as a result of Q. I can't imagine ever writing a book if Q hadn't been in my life. So, I mean, the community has been very good to me, and I can't be more thankful.
I mean, it's just amazing the stories that come out. I mean, we could probably put a call. In fact, we should, a call for stories out there. If you are a listener and you are part of Q, you know, on your app or, you know, send Kyle or myself a note. Just tell us what Q has done for you. What was the moment that you recognized Q as something that changed you? We would love to hear those stories, and we'll read them out on our next podcast.
I got a better idea for you, Joe. Let's put together a Flipgrid, and people can do a video sharing their thoughts, and then we can put out a special episode just of people's stories of what Q has meant to them. And if you're not a member of Q, if you're a listener somewhere else, what other organization has done the same thing for you? So, Joey, you're in Texas, so maybe you have a story with TCEA or another organization. And then I know we have listeners in Michigan where McCall is a big organization. Massachusetts has an organization called MassQ. So there's all sorts of organizations out there. So we're going to put that together, and we'll put that in the show notes, a link to it, where we want to hear your story about what Q or some other organization, how it has shaped you and turned you into the person that you are today.
That's a phenomenal idea. And we will put that in the show notes, and we'll be tweeting that out all these coming weeks, because we want to hear your story. We want to feature your story. We want to feature you, because this fall is going to be nuts. It's going to be nuts. And I've been saying, as hard as you think it's going to be, it's probably going to be harder. But teachers are tough, and teachers are resilient. And if we are doing this together, it will be that much easier by sharing our compassion, by sharing our stories, by sharing our work. It'll be better. So yeah, Joey, I want to hear you. I mean, what organization has changed you, and how did you interact with that organization?
So real quick, you guys were talking about your stories and joining Q. It was so inspirational to me. I went online and actually joined Q and just clicked the other button. So, I mean, just to know that organization's there, and just the impact that it has on educators, I want to be a part of that. So I just want to let y'all know I went on there and joined that real quick.
Awesome, Joey.
As far as organizations for me, my story is a little different. In Texas, we do have TCEA. And when I was in college, in my undergrad, I was able to get a student membership of it. And so I knew a little bit of kind of what it was. And then, you know, life happens and you start teaching for real. And that paycheck's not quite as big as you were hoping it was going to be. And that membership price wasn't quite something I could do. So I went about kind of learning about it and was really engaged in technology. When I was still doing my undergrad, that's when Google Docs had kind of first come out. And I was using that as my USB drive, like Kyle had said. I was putting everything on the USB, on my Google Drive, so I could transport it to and from work and have access to it. And then I kind of started working on it a little bit more and more. And what I wound up doing is finding creative ways to get to use it in my classroom, and how I could get students an account, or how I could get students to use it. And I did that through Google searches, and I found out that there was something called an EdCamp. And so I went to an EdCamp in Houston, and really looking at that, talking with more educators, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's all this stuff that we can do. There's other people who are just like me. That was amazing to me. And then I went to a Google Summit here in Houston, and that just blew my mind that there were so many educators that were like me who were looking for ways to infuse technology. I couldn't find them. I couldn't pick them out in my district because we're a giant district. But us all being in one spot, I'm like, hey, you're also from my school district. You're also from my area. You know, how are you doing this? You have students just like me. And so I was able to connect with them. And that's what got me into the Google Innovator Academy, and then really building my PLN and finding other like-minded individuals, and just kind of creating just this cohort of people that I can rely on and talk to about, you know, anything that I'm struggling with in my classroom or any successes I want to share in my classroom.
And that's amazing. And I do want to give a shout out to your district, Joey, Cyfair. That's like a second home to me. I mean, you helped bring me in, you and Jess helped bring me in to your DLC conference, which by the way, is going to be happening not next week, but the week after, on the 28th, I believe, July 28th, which is going to be all virtual, and I'll be presenting at that. But yeah, Cyfair is a second home to me. When I go down there, I feel like family. I mean, that's just an amazing district, and they're blessed to have you. And Joey, I think part of being a great community member is making sure districts know they have rock stars of their own. So I always give you a shout out, saying, you know, Joey Kirkland is an amazing educator, and he's somebody that you can go to for advice, because I'm a huge proponent of making sure districts know who their rock stars are. Because sometimes, especially in a very large district, Joey, tell me if I'm wrong, in a very large district, sometimes even the most amazing teachers fall through the cracks.
Absolutely.
And I want to make sure that you your crack, that sounds weird, your crack is filled. I don't want to say that. I want to make sure that they know that they have an amazing educator in yourself. And I know they know that, but I just want to make sure it's amplified that they know that, because I think you're an amazing educator. And I think you are doing amazing things, and you have an amazing future ahead of you to do even more amazing things, especially coming this fall.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Joe.
Oh, absolutely. And I truly consider you a really great friend. I mean, you introduced me to Studio Movie Grill. I never thought that there could be a movie theater where you can sit down, press a button, and you'll have a waiter come over and serve you alcohol and food right at your seat. I've never seen that before. And now it's like spreading across California, but it started in Texas first. So that was, you introduced me to that, and that was me. I remember the movie we saw. We saw Ant-Man. I remember that. So absolutely, it's just phenomenal when I get to go down there and hang out with you. You know, one of the things that I've been reflecting on these last few days is our community of educators. And I want to know from you guys, what are you doing in your community to really help alleviate any stress or any doubt or any helplessness within any of your circles or any of your schools or any of your Twitter feeds? What are you doing to promote success and promote innovation and promote an era of it's okay to try these things? Because an organization is nothing without educators willing to go out there and promote community. So what are you guys doing to promote just helpfulness in this time of need?
Joey, you want to take this one first?
Sure. So on my campus level, I always kind of go with the quote, and I apologize, I don't know who said it, but, you know, plan A didn't work. Good thing there's 25 other letters in the alphabet. And so that's kind of my mantra. And what I strive and tell teachers on my campus, click something, try it, just give it a go. If it doesn't work, it didn't work. And we can go back and we can fix it. One of my fondest memories of when I first realized that, hey, I am an influencer, I had a pre-K teacher who was completely afraid of a smart board. She was afraid of breaking it. And we're talking about the older school smart boards that are on a stand and a projector shining on it. And it's got a USB cord connected to the computer. Really, really not super technical, but she was afraid of breaking it. And I told her, look, if you break it, our district will send somebody out and they will fix it. But you know what? I bet you won't break it. I bet it's robust enough to handle anything you can throw at it. Just don't literally throw anything at it. But she did it. And there were many times that I had to go in and we had to reset something and realign things. And I showed her how to reorient the board. And she, by the end of the year, she was a rock star. She was utilizing it with her pre-K students on a daily basis, had them moving things around and just that response. And it was so beneficial to those kiddos. And I looked at her and said, because you weren't afraid to click something, because you weren't afraid to try something, you were able to give these students that feeling of success. And that, look, that's going to carry on all the way through their schooling years. They are indebted to you for this. And so that's kind of what I do. I go around the campus. I find those teachers who are afraid to do stuff and I promote them. I say, hey, don't worry about it. Let's try it. If it doesn't work, we'll try something else. And those teachers who are doing a great job, I make sure that I connect them with those teachers who are struggling. So that way that struggling teacher knows that there are more people on that campus who you can reach out to, who you can ask for assistance from. That's kind of my role, what I do.
And I love that. You know, sometimes teachers just need the security of knowing there's somebody there they can ask for help, right? That's the thing. And I think sometimes when teachers go to a training and they see some amazing things and that trainer leaves, they get nervous about trying something because that trainer's not there to help. But when they have a TOSA on campus or a TOSA on call, like yourself, Joey, who can show something and then follow up whenever that follow-up is needed, that can be a very good security blanket for any teachers trying to do new things. And I also think modeling failure and showcasing where you failed early on and how you overcame those failures, are those stories are important as well. And we had an episode called Fails, encouraging teachers not only to share their successes on social media, but showcase all the failures leading up to that success. So that when a teacher tries that, they know that you failed two or three times before you got it right. So it's okay for them to fail two or three times before they get it right. Because I'm a huge believer that if you only show successes and another teacher tries to emulate that success and they are failing again and again, they go, I just can't do it. It must be me. And so they give up. But if we showcase it, no, it took us like three or four times for us to tailor it to our students and to get it right. If we show that, then it can really help teachers understand that you may not get it on the first, second, third, or fourth try, but maybe on the fifth you will. Keep trying. So I think Absolutely. That's really important.
That's another thing that I make sure that I put in there too, is that I'm very transparent with my process. This is what I'm doing. This is how I get there. Please come and visit anytime during this process. You may see something great. You may see a fail. The difference is that I'm willing to get up and try it again. And so therefore you should try and get up and try it again. It's not a one and done. Rarely is it something that I'm successful on the first go around and I'm just an expert at it. You know, even with my students, I talk to them about the importance of doing homework, and that homework is really just practice. You know, I coached football at the middle school I was teaching at this past year, and I bring it up to them all the time. So why do we have practice? To get better, to make sure that we understand how to do stuff. In the NFL, they practice to make sure they understand what they're doing and to do stuff. They study film. You know, these are all the things that they do why should math be any different? You need to study, you need to practice. You're gonna fail, it's okay to fail. You can always make it up. Show me that you understand it now. And doing the same thing with my teachers. Hey, you may not have, that smart board lesson may not have gone correct that first time. Let's try it again. Let's see what we can fix, how we can modify it to do better.
And that's, I mean, that's key, right? Practice makes perfect is not just a statement, but it's true. There's one person, I can't remember his name, and I know listeners are probably going to be shouting it out. But you know, he said it takes 10,000 hours to become an expert on something. But then he followed up saying, in that 10,000 hours, you can't do it alone. You have to have a good coach coaching you to become that expert, right? And that's where tech coaches come into play to really help make sure those 10,000 hours that teachers are practicing to become experts in something new, they're doing it correctly. But it takes time. Kyle, what about you? What are you doing? Because I know you have a lot of irons in the fire, both on social media and podcasts. What are you doing in these times? And I know you're going to be starting a new position in a new school district this year, in a new role. But also you're doing some amazing things with the State Board of Education in Nevada. I'd love to hear some of the things that you're doing to promote community in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, my situation is a little different right now because I am no longer working for the school or the district that I've been with for the last 2 years, and I'm returning to the district that I was at for the previous 13 before these past couple of years. So right now, the school that I'm going to be working at, I know three people that work there. So I know the principal, and then I worked with a couple of the teachers at other places a few years ago. Other than that, I don't know anybody at my school, and I haven't had any connections with them at this point either. So I actually just now, within the last couple of days, got my school district email set up, and I've been getting some different messages through that, but I haven't actually made any connections with any of my new coworkers there. So as for some of the other stuff, yes, I have the podcasts that are going. So we're doing this one. We're dropping every 2 weeks. The Beer EDU podcast, we've been dropping those every couple of weeks right now. Normally, we're a weekly podcast, but in the summertime, because just listenership is down and people need a break and whatnot, we've been going to every 2 weeks. But it doesn't mean that the content that we're getting has been diminished by any means. We've had some phenomenal guests that have come on, and I'm really excited about, we've got a few in the can right now that's going to take us up through the end of August. And then we've got a couple of episodes planned out for last part of August and early part of September that I think are really going to knock people's socks off when it comes to the content and the people that are going to be on the show. So, and I can't say enough about how much fun I have doing both of these shows, because it's really selfish of me, but I learned so much just doing both of these shows. So I thank you. And I got to thank Ben Dixon, my partner on Beer EDU. So, and I haven't been writing as much lately. My last blog post I wrote was actually about how I just needed to step away for a few weeks because of COVID-19 and just the burnout from 3 months of digital learning, just really took a toll on me, and just a lot of different things. So, I mean, I really kind of got away from doing things online, and I went camping where it was beautiful that there was no cell service where I went camping a few weeks ago. And I just was really able to unplug there. And then I'm actually going to be going camping for a week again here pretty soon. It's not going to be in a place where there's no cell service, but I'm not taking any computers or iPads or anything. And my intention when I get to where I'm going to be is I'm going to put my phone in airplane mode and just really just get away from the digital world for a few days once again. So, and really just kind of try to relax. And that blog post was really about giving yourself permission to relax and unplug a little bit, because summertime is usually a time where a lot of teachers really use that time to brush up on some skills, learn some new things. And I mean, there's just as much work in the summertime as there is during the regular school year. It's just more on a professional learning level. And this year, I just really feel that a lot of educators just really need to kind of step away. I mean, it's important to learn some new things, especially with whatever school is going to look like in a few weeks. But at the same time, you're not going to be very effective if you're just grinding yourself into the ground throughout the summer as well. So that's what that blog post was about. And again, you can check that one out at andersonedtech.net. So, and then the other thing is my book that came out there a few months ago about risk-taking and trying things and learning from successes and failures and different things, the lessons in that book. So I really feel that my book is very relevant right now. And that's part of the reason why EduMatch Publishing is going to help me organize a book study for it. So like I said, at the top of the show here, we're going to be putting out some information to sign up for this book study. And I'm really hoping that people will take a look at my book and learn some lessons from that on risk taking. So you had the main question you asked in this round, I'm getting there now. So was that, what am I doing to try to help out the community? I'm not having a direct impact on the community right now because of my situation with my job and whatnot, but that virtual community, that community that we're raving about in this one, I'm trying to put things out there that is influencing people to take risks and learn things. And I'm reading things about various topics to try to be better myself on a whole host of different things. So again, with that book study, I'm going to be putting some things out on my social media feeds on how to sign up for that. And I really hope that people will embrace that book study and become motivated to try some different things, especially because of what the fall is going to potentially look like.
And those are great, because we really want to make sure the community knows that we're here as an organization, whether it's Q or your district or what have you, but also here as individual people, just wanting to make sure that you are comfortable starting next year. I mean, and that's really all we want. It's about making sure that you as an educator are on the top of your game for the benefit of your students when school starts next year. One of the things that I am really trying to do, and I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way, I'm trying to make sure that I'm putting myself out there as a real human being. Because sometimes we get bogged down in the terms of edufamous or edu rock star or edu celebrity. We get bogged down in these terms where people end up saying things, and Joey, I think you alluded to this a while ago, people end up saying, well, it comes easy to you. It comes easy. It's not easy for me. It comes easy to you. You're this, you know, you do all these things. Of course, it comes easy to you. I want to make sure people know that I'm human. I'm not some superhuman person who I can just plug in something into my brain and download all this information and become an expert. But I also want to make sure teachers understand that I understand their hardships. And I understand their, because there are things in life that do actually come easier to other people. It's true. And when I say easier, I don't mean like you get it right away, but you may get it a little bit faster. And teachers need to know that we understand that. Because what I used to reply, and I'm now questioning this response, but teachers would say, well, this comes easy to you. And my response would be, no, I've spent hours and hours and hours practicing this. It's not easy for me. I just put the time in. And then I think to myself, maybe that response is actually more detrimental than helpful, because now it's telling them that I'm not understanding their point of view. I'm not understanding that this is hard for them. Even if they do put the time in, it's still hard for them. So I really came to this realization back in February. I was doing a training up in Washington. I'm not going to say where or what school, but I had a teacher come up and tell me that. And they said, this does not come easy to me. This is difficult for me to understand. This may come easy to you, but it does not come easy to me. And I responded, it's not easy for me. I put the time in. I did this. And she goes, listen, has there ever been anything you've ever truly wanted to learn or do, and you put the time in and it just doesn't click. It just doesn't work. And it's, you just stop. Has there ever been a time that that's happened? I thought to myself, multiple times playing the guitar. I've tried to play the guitar probably since my early 20s till now, and I can't get it, and I end up giving it up. I just can't do it. In my mind, I just can't grasp it. Even though I practice and practice, I just don't feel like I get it. Another thing that I always struggled with was running and working out. I just couldn't keep up with a schedule. I just couldn't keep up with it. I just couldn't keep going at it. No matter how much I put my heart into it, I ended up stopping. Even though I wanted it with all my heart, I just didn't do it because it was hard, because the results didn't happen when I thought they should happen. So the idea behind this is, this teacher said, put yourself in a situation where it's something you really want, but because you didn't get the results you wanted in the time that you wanted, you ended up quitting anyways. Not because you hate the thing, just because you just couldn't accept, you couldn't get it. And so that's why I started running. That's why I started working out, because when this COVID happened and all the excuses were gone, too much travel, I can't have a diet, I can't do this, I have to eat out, blah, 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 all those excuses were gone. And in that reverberation, they kept saying, have you ever had something you wanted to start, but you kept giving up because you didn't get the results in the time that you want? Have you ever, all these things. And that kept reverberating. I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to put myself out there in something, and I'm going to just keep going. Even when the results don't happen, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep doing. I'm going to keep trying. And so for the past 4 months, that's what I've been doing. I've been putting myself out there in something that is difficult for me so that I can feel that emotion when a teacher tells me I can't do it, it's hard. Instead of putting myself in the technology realm of, well, just work harder, I put myself in the realm of, what have you been doing so hard? And it's so much pain and so much torture and so much trouble, but in the end, you're feeling better. It's this running that I'm doing. And so I run to feel the torture. I run to feel the pain. I run to feel the emotions of, can I do this? I run to feel the struggle so that when a teacher does tell me I'm struggling with this, I'm not thinking of the technology. I'm thinking of the emotions that come with the struggle of something you want to do, but it's just painful and hard. I put myself, so whenever I run, I put myself into the mindset of the teachers who would love to learn the technology, but it's just hard for them, so that I can feel that compassion. That's why I do that. And it's helping my soul while it's happening, but it's also giving me empathy again while I'm coaching and while I'm with teachers. I'm getting the empathy of trying and failing and not getting the results that you want, so you give up. I have that empathy again. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And the last thing that I'm trying to do is reverberate with authenticity and authentic stories that truly represent the time that we live in. And I did a quick a Twitter live or Periscope live yesterday when I was on my run, because I kept thinking of the teachers that are going to all these conferences, that are learning all these things, that are getting all this information on Twitter, and it's coming all at them like this floodgates, and they see all these things and they get overwhelmed. And sometimes when we have so much to look at, we are so overwhelmed, we can't make a decision and we just shut down. I'm talking to you, Baskin Robbins, 31 flavors, right? You go to Baskin Robbins, there's so many flavors, you can't make a decision. And when you do make a decision, you always have a regret that you didn't make another decision. That's why I like those places that have strawberry, chocolate, vanilla, right? Because it's very, very small amount of choices. So why not turn Baskin Robbins into just three choices? So I always like to tell the story of my grandpa. My grandpa took me to a place here in California, in Central Valley, called Blackbeards. Blackbeards Family Fun Center. Blackbeards is the place for fun. That was the theme song back when we were kids. And my grandpa took me there. It was a giant arcade. And my grandpa took me there, gave me a quarter, goes, go play what you want. And I went to go play whack-a-mole. And my grandpa goes, why are you going to go play whack-a-mole? There's video games. He goes, yeah, this one gives you tickets. And I'm going to get these. I'm going to win, I'm going to take these tickets and I'm going to go get me an eraser or whatever they had in the, under that thing. So I went and I put my quarter in, and I was just a little bit too slow on every mall. And every time I would swing and miss, I got frustrated and became slower and slower and so frustrated and trying to hit, and I'm missing every single thing. And I'm putting all this effort in and I'm getting no tickets. All my effort, nothing. All my effort, nothing. And I got frustrated. And my grandpa goes, "You want to try it again?" I go, "Why? What's the point? I'm trying and nothing. I'm trying and nothing." He goes, "I'm going to give you a quarter. And all I want you to do is hit this one hole." He pointed to one hole. "Just hit the one hole. Just wait for that mole to come up and hit it." And my grandpa said, and I said, "But then I'm missing all the other moles and I'm not going to win as many tickets." He goes, "How many tickets did you win when you tried to hit them all?" I said, "Zero." He goes, "That's right. If you just hit that one, you'll win at least 5 tickets. That's at least better than nothing. And you're focusing. And so I just hit that one mole. I just get it. And I got tickets." He goes, "How'd that feel?" I go, "Good." He goes, "Okay, now I'm going to give you another quarter. Focus on 2 holes and just hit it." He goes, "You keep doing that until the next mole you add gives you less tickets. Then go back to the previous one. Do as much as you can for the result that you want and no more. And when you become better at that, add another one. Adjust." And that's what we as teachers need to make sure we understand. Don't do everything everybody's showing you. Pick that one hole, pick that one mole, and hit it until you are good. And then when you feel comfortable, move on to 2. If we focus on a single activity and a single goal or a single pedagogical shift, we get results. We feel that rush of happiness. We feel that rush of competence. We feel that rush of completion. And we then tell ourselves, what's next? What's more? And there's no better feeling as a tech coach than to hear a teacher say, "That was great. What else can you show me?" They need that one win. They need that one success. They need that one story. They don't need all the tools. So as these months have been going on, that empathy and that story and that realness and that truth, I'm putting myself out there to make sure teachers understand that. I'm not just showing tools. I'm showing empathy. I'm not just showing tools. I'm showing understanding. I'm showing patience. I'm showing strategy. Because teachers are getting overwhelmed right now, and rightfully so. Center yourself. Pick a goal, pick a tool, pick a strategy, pick a pedagogy, and get good at it before you move on. So that's what we need to make sure we are doing. So that's what I've been doing these last few months, as well as changing jobs and learning a whole new routine. But I think teachers need that. Teachers need reality, and teachers need to be grounded. And so, and sometimes, and once again, I don't want anybody out there to take this the wrong way. That's why I think sometimes when all we focus on is those edu rock stars, when all we focus on is these big time names, I think sometimes it actually hurts teachers sometimes, because they think that you want them to be up at that level instead of up to the level they're comfortable with. So as the director of academic innovation for Q, I am going to be focusing on elevating the voices of our community teachers, not rock star teachers, not teachers that already have their name out there, not teachers that already have things that are going on. I'm talking about that one teacher that is doing amazing things, but in their mind feels, nobody needs to know about this, or I'm not doing something that's amazing. I want to tell their story. I want to give them an outlet to showcase their skills and talents. I want to give them an outlet to where they can then become better, and then they can amplify their voice, and then they can then spread it around to more people. I want to sprinkle the seeds in our community, and I want to grow flowers of amazing educators who can then pollinate the rest of the garden. That's what I am going to do as the director of academic innovation: elevate the voices of our affiliates, elevate the voices of our teachers, and elevate the voices of those teachers who are doing amazing things and feel that they're not doing amazing things, but showcase that they are and tell their story. That's what I'm going to be doing. And that's going to be my focus.
And it starts with you, listeners, because like we mentioned earlier, some of the best ideas come very organically, and we want to hear those stories of community and kind of your origin as to how Q or some other organization has really formed you into what you are today. So please check our show notes for this episode. We're going to have a link to Flipgrid where you can share your story in a short video, and then we're going to take those stories and we're going to put them together in an episode of the show. and share and focus on you, the community, and community, if that's the organization that you are a member of. So please check the show notes for that link and share your story with us, and let's really make these connections.
Absolutely. And in closing, Joey, I want to say thank you for being a part of my my learning process and being an amazing friend. Kyle, I want to say thank you to you for just being the amazing brother and friend that I've had. And listeners, I want to thank you, because this, number one, this show would be nothing without you listening. I mean, Kyle and I would do this even if there was just one listener. But for all of you that are listening, it makes it an amazing opportunity. And just know this, we know the fall is going to bring a lot of struggles and a lot of different obstacles. But I see that as an opportunity to showcase amazing stories of teachers overcoming those hardships and overcoming those struggles. I see this as an amazing opportunity to show the world what educators truly are, and that the educators are people who have nothing in their way. Nothing can stop them from doing their job. Nothing can stop them from changing the world. Nothing can stop them from making great experiences for their students, whether it's face-to-face, hybrid, distance. Educators got this. You got this. Everything has a cost, but everything also has an opportunity. And we have an opportunity to change the way education is perceived. We have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to change the way that we approach education. We have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to showcase how educational technology can amplify and curate and create amazing educators who think for themselves, who can communicate and collaborate and create. We have an amazing opportunity in front of us. So even though the fall is going to be tough, teachers are tougher. You are tougher. You got this. We got this. Teaching is a collaborative sport. And when one of us wins, we all win. And if we're doing it alone, we are doing it wrong. So let's do this together. Find your organization. Heck, find Q, no matter where you are. Just like Joey said, he's in Texas, but he joined. You can too. If you don't have a home organization, why not think about Q? Because Q thinks about you, because we love you. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being an amazing educator. And as always, keep on taking risks, keep on innovating, just keep on being the amazing educator you always have. Thank you so much for spending your time with us.